I have prepared a small PowerPoint presentation. I hope you can read it. Do you see it on your screens too, or only on the big screen? Okay. So if you cannot read something, then please ask me. If it's important, I can refer to it. As you can see, I was preparing a presentation about public service broadcasting from an economic perspective, or an economic definition of public service broadcasting. As you have heard already, we work at an Institute for Broadcasting Economics. So we tackle the whole question of the media from an economic point of view, which is not the typical way to look at the media. The typical way either is a legal approach, especially in Germany. Most influential is a legal discipline for shaping the media, or it's a journalist approach or communication approach. But if you look at the question of how to provide goods in general, and if you look at the media as a type of goods, you also can derive a lot of answers from the economic discipline, which I try to do now, also as a supplement to the traditional legal way of discussing the media. So the first thing I would like to do also for my second presentation in the afternoon is to present a theoretical model for the different ways how to provide the media. And this model contains the three principal ways to prepare, to provide goods, either by the market or by the state. Or this is the third way, which often is not discussed explicitly, but which especially for the media is very important, by the civil society, or what we as economists also call by the third sector. Of course, you have to operationalize such a model in order to be able to really derive the weaknesses and the ways to improve such a provision of the media, which I will do in the second part. For economists, Professor Schiele mentioned it already, of course, very important is the way how to finance the goods that are provided. So in the third part, I will discuss about the financial system of the media, and especially of public service broadcasting, which is a special case, not comparable to traditional ways of financing goods. We, of course, know as economists that the economic approach is not the only one, and maybe not the, for sure, not sufficient to explain these models and to operationalize them. But what we for sure need to is a legal point of view, and in a fourth chapter I will try to incorporate the legal criteria in such an economic model. And finally, based on this model and on the approaches to operationalize this model, I will present some empirical results about the different solutions that different countries use for the media, which is a way of international comparative study. And I think also Professor Kleinschreiber will come back to this later. And I finally will draw some conclusions and prospects. You all know that the traditional discussion between economists how to provide goods is the question, should it be done by the market or should it be done by the state? These are the two basic forms for the provision of goods. In centrally planned economies, the state is a predominant provider, and in the market economies or in the capitalist economies, the market is a predominant provider, and then the state only serves as a subsidiary provider for those goods that are not or cannot be provided by the market. So what we have in reality in all countries is what we call a mixed economy, using both ways for the provision of goods. And you can, that is the approach of the statistics, try to measure the relative importance of the market and the state by what we call public expenditure ratios, which is the proportion of the state sector or the private sector compared to the overall gross national product. So if both of these two sectors are equally strong, you would have a public expenditure ratio of 50%. We know that this ratio varies strongly between countries. In 2009, for instance, in Denmark it was almost 50%, South Africa only one-third of the goods were provided by the state, two-thirds were provided by the market, and in contrast, in Romania, for instance, the state portion was more than half, it was 65%, and only 35% was provided by the market. The other thing is that it's not only the ratio that is important, but also the overall product, the size of the product. So Denmark and South Africa, for instance, had a gross national product that was about $300 billion in both countries, compared to Romania, which was only 150 billion. If you want to just visualize these differences, you can do it by dividing the overall dot into the two parts and by representing the amount of the gross national product by the size of the dots. Another way to represent these differences graphically would be to locate the different countries on a continuum that ranges from 100% state to 100% market. So in a country that has a mixed economy with the market and the state equally sized, it would be a 50-50 location on such an axis, and the other countries I mentioned would be located, as I show here, in the second and third diagram. So if we look at the public expenditure ratios for European countries, you can see there are large differences and also the ratios vary over time. For the OECD total, for instance, the ratio was 40% public expenditures in 2008, and for Germany it was 43%. Such a concept, however, is not able to represent what we call public service broadcasters. You would not be able to locate public service broadcasts on such an axis between state and market. But you need a third provision, which is what we call the civil society sector. Only if you take into account the civil society sector, or the third sector, you will be able to represent the differences between media systems in such a graphical disposition. The portion of the voluntary sector is hard to determine empirically. As you know, most of the goods and services that come from the voluntary sector do not show up in the cross-national product. When you work at home, when you care for children, when you care for elder people, this has a value, but it is not represented in the national product. So the same is true for journalism. If you have voluntary journalists working for local radio, for instance, they do it for free. It's a, you could say, a donation in kind, or sometimes a donation in cash, which is not caught in the official statistics, in the cross-national product. Nonetheless, it is important in all countries. And if you take that into account, besides this access between the state and the market, you can enlarge the diagram by a third dimension, which is civil society. Then you have a diagram that is able, theoretically, to locate all solutions or ways to provide goods and all ways to provide media. For instance, on the baseline, that would be a solution which only would draw on the state and the market, where the state would be involved with one third and the market would be involved with two thirds, and the voluntary sector would not be involved at all. You also can then graphically show the three ideal models for the provision of goods, which is total provision by the state in the left corner, total provision by the market in the right corner, total provision by civil society in the upper corner. And a mixed model that would equally use the market, the state, and the voluntary sector would be located in the middle of this triangle. Another example would be the 50-50-0 vector, where the provision would be half by the state and half by civil society, on the left corner, the red dot. So I think the logic of this diagram is clear, and this logic can be used then for theoretical normative approaches and also for descriptions, for empirical approaches. The vector here, for instance, the red one is 50, 25, 25. The first figure always is the share of civil society in this vector would be half here, and 25% share from the market and the state sector. And you can see that it's near civil society, that civil society in such a solution would dominate, as it is nearer to the civil society pole. If we come to the United States, for instance, we know that most of the goods in general and also most of the media goods are provided by markets, by commercial broadcasters. This becomes obvious here as the dot is located near the market pole. Also in the United States, however, you have some sectors that are near the voluntary sector. Care for elder people also in the United States is predominantly still done by the families. Third sector provision. And of course you also have in the United States, although it is a commercial society or capitalist society, some sectors that are predominantly done by the state. For instance, road construction, something that is financed and also organized by the state. So this part is near the state sector. Same is true for China. In 1980, China was predominantly run by the state, by government. So the overall dot is near the state pole. But also in China you had, of course, some sectors that were run already by the market. Or, again, care for elder people by the civil society sector. So these are averages here. And you also can show shifts over time. If we look at the development in China, we can see that the traditional dominance of the market, of the government, of the state, now is vanishing. More and more of the goods are provided by the market, also in China. We are on the way to a more capitalistic system in China. This is a general approach that also can be used for the analysis and international comparison of media systems. Also here, we have the market, state, and the voluntary sector as three means for the provision of the media. And each of these three ideal solutions has advantages and disadvantages, strengths and weaknesses. I cannot go into detail here. It is a big discussion between economists, for instance. Is there market failure in the media? What is the kind of market failure? What is the advantages of private markets in the media, which there are too? And how should one combine the different ways to provide media in order to be able to have an overall, best overall solution that uses the advantages of each of these three models. If we use this general approach for the media or for broadcasters, we have three elementary types of broadcasters. The one is the state broadcaster. The second one would be commercial broadcaster, and the third one would be voluntary broadcaster. Actually, we do not have these pure systems in no country, but we have mixtures in all countries. They never are located on the edge of this triangle, but they all are mixtures that are located somewhere within this triangle. It need not be equally mixed broadcasters, but they may be dominated by the state or by commercial broadcasters. But the different relative importance can be represented in such a model, and such a model then also can distinguish between different types of broadcasters. Here we have a distinction between three types of pure broadcasters and seven types of mixed broadcasters. And it is an interesting question to compare the broadcasting systems of different countries with regard to what type of broadcaster the different countries have. The blue types here we could call public service broadcasters. Public service broadcasters are a mixture between ideal types. They are somewhere between pure voluntary broadcasters and state broadcasters. They have both elements. They have the voluntary sector or the civil society influence, and they also have the state influence for reasons which we can talk about later. Some state broadcasters are stronger, influenced by the state. Others are predominantly influenced by civil society. So there is a range between the distance of public service broadcasters from the state and from civil society. if we want to compare broadcasting systems, we have to realize that in all societies there's not only one broadcaster, but that there are more than one. This is the ideal type with only one broadcaster, but in practice we always have more than one broadcaster. As we heard, in Germany we have about 10 or 20 public service broadcasters and maybe now about 50 commercial broadcasters. So what we have to do is to compile an overall average for all these broadcasters. The black dots would be overall averages. Only the overall averages can tell us what the overall influence of the three sectors on broadcasters are. So these are different possible constellations for a broadcasting system that consists of more than one broadcaster. If you look at the triangle in the middle, we can see, for instance, that the black dot, which represents the average broadcaster, is nearer to the violet dot than to the green dot, as the green dot is not as important from the budget. So the average is a weighted average. If there are a lot of small broadcasters, they of course do not influence the average as much as one big broadcaster. So to compile averages, you not only need to know where the single broadcaster is located, but also what is the size of the budget or the size of the overall influence. If we look at the United States again, the overall average would be almost located in the market pole, as most of the broadcasters in the United States are commercial broadcasters, although they are, as we heard, also is public broadcasting or public service broadcasting, but the influence is small. If you look at the budget or at the ratings, compared to the commercial broadcasters. And Voice of America also is what we would call a state broadcaster, but he doesn't influence the overall average very much as compared to the budget of the commercial broadcasters. It also is rather small. In Germany, the overall influence on broadcasting is represented here by the black dot. We have, as I mentioned already, on the one hand, commercial broadcasters, these red dots. The biggest are the ProSiebenSat.1 group and the Bertelsmann group, RTL group, and then we have some smaller commercial broadcasters. And on the other hand, we have ARD and ZDF and the local members of the ARD in the different countries, which are on the other side of this average, near to the voluntary sector or civil society sector. And then we also have Deutsche Welle, just to mention that. Deutsche Welle is nearer to the state pole due to several reasons. For instance, as they get the money, the budget, from the state directly, where the public service broadcasters get the money from the license fee, which is more independent. Professor Kleinschaber might object, but it also is not important to locate these different broadcasters exactly, but just to give an impression of the landscape of broadcasters in Germany and of the overall landscape, which is compared to the United States. In Germany, influenced stronger by the public, by the civil society sector than in the United States. On the other hand, in Germany, the influence of the state is a little stronger. then in the United States, as there are indirect influences on public service broadcasters by the state, for instance, as the state is involved in the decision about the financing of public service broadcasters. For instance, the license fee, you know, has to be paid by everybody. But if the state would not guarantee or give his authority to the public service broadcasters, they would not be able to collect it. So they lent the state authority to public service broadcasters in order to get them financed properly. But this also means indirectly there is a certain state influence on public service broadcasters. If we use this concept for the description of shifts over time, we would say, for instance, that also the Ukraine is on the way from away from the state sector more to a commercial sector. The number of commercial broadcasters in the Ukraine has increased, and as far as I would see it, also the state influence has released over time on broadcasters. So there is a tendency, a shift away from the state sector to the commercial sector. What maybe compared to other countries is not characteristic is the shift upwards, the involvement of influences from civil society, which we have, for instance, by the Rundfunkräte, by our board or by our councils, which, as we have heard already, are from members of socially relevant groups, that is, from the civil society. If we accept the position of public service broadcasters here, we have always two conflict lines, or two lines for, one could say, fine-justing or fine-tuning of the position of public service broadcasters. The one is the adjustment of the distance from the state or civil society, that is the red arrow parallel to the left edge, and the other one is the variation of the distance from the commercial sector. Both are important. We have heard that independence from the state is necessary, so public service broadcasters should not approach too much, too near to the state sector, and also independence from the commercial sector is important. Both tend to influence broadcasters, also public service broadcasters. If you work too closely with them, you will be in danger that you lose your independence. On the other hand, you cannot be so independent that you are located in the upper pole, that you are a pure, voluntary civil society broadcaster. We all know that pure, voluntary broadcasting always is lacking from money and also then from professionalism. We have some examples for pure voluntary broadcasters. Local community broadcasting is almost an example for a broadcaster where the civil society, without the support of the state or the market, can provide a program. But usually, as it is a voluntary contribution, it is not sufficient for a high-quality programming that can compete with market broadcasters or state broadcasters. That's the reason why we do not have ideal civil society broadcasting that really is relevant for society, but that we always have mixtures of civil society broadcasting and state broadcasting, or civil society broadcasting and market broadcasting. So the location is not in the upper corner, but it is somewhere nearer to either the state or the market sector. One thing is interesting for the debate in Europe, that is the question, is public service broadcasting under the line, which is shown here as a dotted line, which means is it too near to the state sector, or is it above the line? Does it really fit to the concept of public service broadcasting? This question is especially relevant in Europe, as the European Commission has the general concept that state aid is forbidden for several reasons. So once the European Commission would say the license fee is a state aid, as the broadcasters are too near to the state sector, they are kind of state broadcasters then the European Commission would not allow the license fee. And that would, of course, mean that the most important type of revenue for public service broadcasters would not be allowed anymore. We had this debate, we had this discussion. It's a long story, and I can, in my second presentation, go into details. But this is the, if you use this concept, this is a key question for answering if from the European competition policy, public service broadcasting should be allowed or not. If we operationalize this concept, as an economist, we would say the most important criteria to operationalize this is the funding structure, the financial structure. An economist says the way an organization or also a company or an individual is funded determines his actions, his incentives, and then his actions, and then, of course, it also determines the output of this corporation or company or whatever. And the output, again, of course, determines the societal effect of the program, which is the key variable for politicians and for also for academics from the communication discipline. They are interested in the social effects of broadcasting, and they want to steer the social effects of broadcasting for good reasons. As we all know, the media are the most important institution for society's long-term effects, and in the end for the amount of welfare of society. The public communication that is done by the mass media is so important for society that this is the key question that one has to answer. And this question, according to this concept, can be answered by steering the funding structure, the incentives of the funding structure, and the output that is generated by this incentive structure. If we use this concept, we only have to empirically measure the different types of revenues, which we have distinguished already. We first have to look at the market revenues, secondly, state revenues, and thirdly, at the revenues from civil society or from the voluntary sector. Revenues from the market, you all know, mainly advertising, sponsoring, subscriptions now, program sales, merchandising. Other transactional revenues from telephone call-ins, for instance, are important for some stations. Revenues from the state, we have discretionary state grants, or discretionary shares from tax revenues, rule-based state grants, rule-based shares from tax revenues, or a rule-based devotion of a public revenue source, like the receiving license fee. These all are revenues, finally, that come from the state sector. And revenues from the civil society sector, we have donations, either in cash, from individuals, or in kind, donations from NGOs, for instance, or from corporations. These all are different types of revenues that finally come from civil society, or to define it negatively, that neither come from the state nor from the commercial sector. And if we look at the broadcasting funding structures of different countries, we again can recognize what we already have seen in the theoretical concept, that all broadcasters have all three types of revenues, of course in different portions, but there is no broadcaster that totally is funded by the state, totally funded by commercial sector, or totally funded by the civil society sector, but they in different portions use all three types of broadcasting. And then again we can locate the broadcasters according to this funding structure. Here we have an example of a broadcaster that is whose budget is financed half from the civil society sector and one fourth from the state sector and the market sector. And here what we have located before already, we again can locate here with regard to the revenue structure in the United States. The overall revenue structure would be 12% from the civil society sector, 12% from the state sector, and 76% from the commercial sector. Whereas one can borrow these shares, as it's not so easy to derive them empirically in the statistics. But these are rough estimates that give us an idea of the general influence and powers of the broadcasting order in the United States compared, for instance, again, with the broadcasting order in Germany, where the amount of the revenues from the civil society sector is higher than in the United States. You would ask, what is the revenues from the civil society sector? There's no direct donations. I think there are very few people in Germany that directly donate money or donations in kind to the civil society sector. But from the construction of the license fee, one must say the influence on the license fee from the civil society sector is so strong that the revenues from the license fee can be allocated at least partly to the civil society sector. That's the most important thing, to properly allocate where does the license fee revenues, from which sector are they influenced. And in Germany we have some precautions that the license fee, both from the amount that is decided and from the way how the license fee revenues are used, is steered to a large extent by the councils, that is by the civil society, and not by the state or not by the company. And if we look at that, we can see that the funding structure of ARD and ZDF really is located near the civil society sector. Of course, you can quarrel about the influence of civil society on the revenues from the license fee. You have different options depending on the legal or the laws that you use for the regulation of the license fee and the amount of the license fee. You can use laws where the responsibility and the power is devoted more to civil society, and you can, of course, use laws where the government has a stronger influence. So this is a soft criteria. You cannot really hardly calculate it, but you have to estimate it with the danger that, of course, there are disputes about the proper allocation of the licensing. But if we, for instance, in Germany, would allocate 2/3 of the license fee to the civil society sector and 1/3 to the state sector according to the different influence of the life of the civil society and the state, then we would have this location here for the public service broadcasters, and then the violet dot would be the proper representation for the German broadcasting order. If we use that concept for international comparisons, we did that. I cannot go into details here. You can see that from this study that was done by McKinsey, they compared about 25 public service broadcasters. But if you look at the results here in the plot, you can see although they are called public service broadcasters, many of them are no public service broadcasters in reality. For instance, in New Zealand, the budget of the public service broadcaster is totally financed from the market. So it's just a label. What is necessary to really decide if a public service broadcaster is a public service broadcaster is to know how he is financed. And then you can say, okay, only those broadcasters that are sufficiently away from the state and from the market devote that they are called public service broadcasters, really. Of course, they all are along this black line, as we here have decided that revenues from the license fee should be allocated half to the civil society sector and the other half to the state sector. But if you have a closer look at the systems, you will shift some to the upper direction, the other to the direction below the line, and then you get a more proper and more differentiated picture. We couldn't do that in this study, but this is the way that we have to go on with this concept. Another addition would be that besides the criteria that are most important for economists, which is the funding structure, also some legal criteria should be taken into account. For instance, important is what is the legal program remit. Most laws have try to define the program remit of the broadcaster. So, of course, besides the way how they finance, it is important, is there a legal program remit? And what is the legal program remit? Does it incorporate only information, news? Does it also incorporate entertainment, sports, whatever? These, of course, are criteria that are important if it comes to really allocate broadcasters and to answer if a broadcaster is a public service broadcaster. And there are other criteria. For instance, how are the boards, who is a member of the control board, how are they chosen, and other criteria that are not economic criteria but legal criteria. And then, of course, you have to weight the different criteria in order to compile an overall score. If we do that, we have done it by using some legal criteria, you can see that the location of the broadcasters becomes different. It's not that they are on the same line as it was before, but then they shift on the vertical too, and then this can give you a more proper picture of the landscapes, the national landscapes, and the overall position of the broadcaster in the different countries. Just to draw some conclusions, the first would be that the comparison of broadcasting systems becomes more important in the course of international conversion. I mentioned that already at the beginning, and especially, of course, in the course of the European harmonization. There is no standard instrument yet, however, for the comparison of broadcasting systems, and to develop such an instrument, it needs to consider both economic and legal criteria. A comparison of broadcasting systems requires a consensus about the set of determinants and about the determinants' relative importance, the weightings. I think that also is a big problem, as when you work together between different disciplines, it is very complicated to get the consensus about the question which criteria are important for the description of a national broadcasting system. But if we do not go on in that way, if we do not find an interdisciplinary instrument and solution, I think we never will have an instrument that enables us for really international comparative discussion, and also for answering the question which way the national broadcasting system should go. And for this purpose, different academic disciplines need to provide its knowledge and they need to cooperate. I think they need to cooperate more than they did in the past. Thank you.